going to start out with a little story, so bear with me. Asha was an 8-year-old girl from a remote village in eastern Uganda. She rarely ventured outside of her small tribal community. One day, a Christian missionary went to Asha's village and brought her to Sunday school. This was her first time inside of a church. The Sunday school was filled with children. As the youth minister began to instruct the students, Asha went off to a corner with a sheet of paper and a marker. As she is beginning to draw on the sheet of paper, the missionary who brought her there started to look all around to see where she was at. She found Asha in a corner near the entranceway of the church. She asked Asha what she was doing, and Asha said, "I'm drawing God." And the Christian missionary said, "We don't draw God here. We don't know what God looks like." And Asha, with the confidence of an 8-year-old girl, looked at the missionary and said, "They will now." Rumi, who is a prominent spiritual scholar and poet, once said, "The way we envision God is the way we see ourselves." Let me say that one more time. The way we envision God is the way we see ourselves. I just want you to reflect on that, because I will come back to that later on in this presentation. So the topic is, when religion ends, spirituality begins. So I'm going to craft this message using my own personal odyssey going from religion to spirituality. So I just want you to get ready and take a walk with me down memory lane. Okay? As mentioned earlier, I was raised in a household where my mother was Southern Baptist, and my father, who was raised in the church, left to become a member of the Nation of Islam. He would have daily chants around our home where he would espouse on the virtues of revolutionary figures like Marcus Garvey and Paul Robeson and Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X and even Nina Simone. While my mom was in the background singing spiritual hymns, and she would always end the hymn with, "We all have a friend in Jesus." So both of my parents were revolutionaries, and this is the spirit that filled my soul. So envision this. My mom would take me, my brother, and my sister to church. While we're at church, my father is on the corner in a black suit, a white shirt, a red bow tie, and he is selling bean pies and carrot cakes and incense and oils and the final call. Now just imagine growing up in a household like that. One of three children, I was the inquisitive one. So as my parents are exposing me to all of these thoughts and ideas, my household became like a laboratory. And it's like, what are we going to make? And it's me, and this is where I'm at. So this is the reason that my thought processes always geared me towards trying to find a greater meaning in life. One thing that happened was I went off to college. When I went off to college, I converted to Islam. And I changed my name. I changed my name to Shafiq Amin. Shafiq is Arabic for kind and compassionate. And Amin is Arabic for amen. And it means trustworthy. So my lofty goal was that anytime anyone encountered me or said my name, that I would be a blessing to them. When individuals in the Islamic faith choose a name, they don't pick a name that they already acquire that meaning from. They choose a name and a meaning that they aspire to be. So it's all aspirational. So I had big ideas, I had big dreams on what I wanted to be, because that was how I was raised. I was raised to be different. And I took that on fully. I graduated, and then I moved to Chesapeake, Virginia, roughly in around 2000. And I went into the teaching profession. Now just imagine, I was an anomaly in the Hampton Roads area because I was an African-American male, I was a Muslim, I was an English teacher, and I held a PhD. I was so rare that my principal received a call from the Virginia Pilot, and the reporter wanted to do an interview on me about my educational and my religious conversion. And I agreed. So the reporter asked if we could meet up at Old Dominion University. They have a mosque or a Islamic house of worship. Said, we will go there, I will conduct the interview, and then I'll take pictures or have someone take pictures. So I went through a series of questions, answered the questions, and then the reporter pointed to me and said, okay, start praying. I had never been asked to pray on command, but I obliged, and they started to snap pictures, and the picture in the Virginia Pilot of me was me with a real serene look in my eyes, looking up at the heavens, and I just looked so peaceful. After the article, I became like a local celebrity in the public school system, and I was asked to go to various schools to give lectures and talks on world religion, on Christianity, on Islam. So I did that. I became prominent in the Islamic community, and I held congregational prayers throughout Hampton Roads. And then in 2015, I was contacted by the then mayor of Chesapeake, and he said, Shafiq, would you give the opening prayer to city council? So I was the first Muslim in the history of Chesapeake to give the opening prayer. So all of these things are happening. Now, I'm not here to boast about any accomplishments. The only reason that I'm bringing all of this up is because I want you to know I know religion. I pray 5 times a day. This is important to me, and I feel like I'm qualified. But one thing that became an issue was that even though I knew religion, something was missing. So what I used to do is, and I still do it, I have a very, one of my favorite verses in the Quran, which is the Islamic holy book, is called The Declining Day. And in Islam, instead of saying chapter, in Arabic it's called surah, and instead of saying ayats, or excuse me, instead of saying verses, it's called ayat. So this is my favorite verse, so bear with me. I'll say it in Arabic first and then I'll translate it. So it's A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asri, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati, wattawassaw bil haqq, wattawassaw bis sabr. And that means, I seek God's protection from the negative influences that invade my soul. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, by the token of time, through the ages, verily man is at loss, except those who have faith, do righteous deeds, and join together in the mutual teachings of truth, patience, and constancy. That's one of my favorite verses, and that's what I told them at a city council. So this is the religious part of my life. So even though I knew religion, I didn't know God. I'll say that one more time. Even though I knew religion, I didn't know God. And I know that may sound like a contradiction, but it isn't. Because in my eyes, religion and that personal relationship with God are two totally separate things. Okay? So I knew the rituals, I knew the structure, but I didn't have that relationship. So my relationship with God was purely generic. It lacked any substance whatsoever. I hadn't allowed spirit to both consume and lead me. I looked at God like an overly strict parent, one who gave few rewards but was very harsh in punishment. Okay. So 7 months ago, I had a crossroads in my life, and we all will go there at some point where your world around you seems like it's just falling apart, and you reach out to something to allow you not to lose your sanity. So I felt like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders. Everything and everyone was in question. And I turned to religion, and it failed me miserably. I was bewildered, I was lost, didn't know which way to turn. And a very good friend of mine told me, she said, Shafiq, this is what you need to do. You need to pause, reflect, pray, and process. Pause, reflect, pray, and process. And that became my mantra. And that became my saving grace. Okay. So I would use these words in my meditation, and spirit started to allow me to get back on the right track. And spirit found a way to lead me to unity. And through unity, I started to listen to the Sunday devotionals, and I really started to get into the focus of inner peace and transforming myself from the inside. And I was telling Chris earlier today that when I was in college, as an English major, we studied the Transcendental Movement. So I was very familiar with Emerson and Thoreau and Whitman and Douglas and Fuller and Alcott. And I would study that, so I knew about the meditation, and all of this started to make sense. Everything that I was learning was leading me to my spiritual path. Now listen to this. Because I pray five times a day, through prayer, I talk to God. But through meditation and spirituality, God talked to me. So that made a difference. It was an entire mind shift that I never had thought about that before. And then one thing that came back up to me, I remember when I was a young kid going to Sunday school, and I would go to Taylor Baptist Church in Philadelphia, and the pastor would read from Luke chapter 17, verse 21, where it says, "The kingdom of God is within you." And you know, sometimes those words just kind of go by you, but when you look at that, the kingdom of God is within you. And then to follow up with that, in Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells within you?" Amen. So when you think about the power of God being in you, that is revolutionary. So if religion is the starting point, spirituality is the finish line. Okay? You start here, and then you wind up here. Some people never make that transition, but hopefully the people in here, they can see how that is the path that will get you closest to God. Okay? So one thing that I always like to look at in Matthew's chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, Jesus would say, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And for everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open." Okay. That is really important, because once you kind of look back at the things that you go through in your life, if you seek it, it will come to you. Okay. One thing, and this may sound a little strange, when I think about spirituality, I think about adolescent love. Now bear with me. Okay. Adolescent love. This is the type of love that is pure and unfiltered. All emotion. Love that bypasses the mind and goes straight to the heart. Amen. Okay? Love that knows no space nor time. Love that has not been polluted by logical thought. Because anyone who has ever been in love realizes that reason goes out the window. Okay. And I like this part. Love that knows no fear. Love that knows no fear. You don't worry about anything around you. You're just pure emotion, and you allow that to engulf your entire being. Okay. When I think about spirituality, that's the way I feel. Pure ecstasy. I've never had this feeling before, and I'm going to do everything in my power never to lose it. Okay. So, never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that I would be standing in front of you today. I am a very meticulous, orderly person. My life has been planned out, or so I thought. But in the Quran, in Surah 8, Ayah 30, it says, man plans and God plans, and God is the best of planners. So whatever I thought, I can just throw that out the window, because there was a greater plan for me. So one thing I want to end with is that throughout my life, I searched for that connection with God. I looked through organized religion, religious studies, even through prayer to find God. But I finally came to the realization that the essence of God I so desperately needed in my life always lived inside of me. Okay? So religion allowed me to dip my toes into the essence of faith, but with spirituality, my whole body is submerged. That's a big difference. So, like Asha in the opening story, I view God through me because the essence of God is in me. He is in you. He is in all of us. Okay. Jesus of Nazareth, the Jewish rabbi, would simply say to you, Shalom and Ahib, and that means peace and love. So to each and every one of you, may the essence of God that lives in you fill you with everlasting joy, contentment, and a love that stays forever young. Thank you.
Wonderful spirit. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Let's go to a place of gratitude. You know, they say at Unity, we don't come here to get our questions answered. We come here to answer. I'm sorry, we don't come here to get our answers questioned. We come here to question our answers. And that's why I thank you, Shafiq, for that. In this stillness, in this quiet, we come to meet our spirit. We know that we are bound together. We know that we are one great collective of love. And here in our very essence, here at the very core of our soul, we connect with one another. Our hearts connect. We feel the love in this room. We feel the love of Dr. Shafiq and all of those present today who have been blessed by his message. In this place, we know we are strong. We know we are free. We're free to doubt. And that allows us to grow. We are free here at Unity. We're not constrained by convention or orthodoxy. We're seekers on the path to light. And in that light, we feel repose, relaxation, oneness, a surrender to something greater than us. And in the quiet, we feel that light that we surrender to. that surrender, we say, and so it is, and all is well.
Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, through me as I open up to be an expression of your
And once again, thank you so much, Dr. Amin, for sharing your journey today and your evolution.